All right. And we're back.
Keep an eye on that. Sorry. Pop, kabang, boom, pop.
Yeah, so here we are the next week after.
We have nothing but time tonight because we don't have to bottle any beer.
Well, I mean, we should, but we won't.
We should, yes. I forgot that I was out of bottle caps and that was a necessary component for bottling beer.
When should we be able to get bottle caps?
I can get it Monday.
Okay.
So you could come up one night, we could bottle, you know, maybe that's better off instead of bottling beer and then saying, and then hey, let's do a show.
Maybe. Yeah, but I won't be able to really partake in any of it.
Well, there'll be nothing to drink on Monday anyway.
Well, there is, because we want to do a little bit of experimenting. Yeah, that's true. I can do that.
I mean, if you're, you know, adhering to your, and it's great if you're adhering to your diet that much, but you could always taste and spit.
Yes, and we'll have to do that. These are nutritional supplements.
Okay.
That's part of the diet. I pack them. I prepared a bunch and packed them with me, thinking that yeah, there'll probably be times when I forget to take one. Take them. They're one. There's one set you take three times a day, and one set you take a night. This is one of the three set. And this is basically this green tea extract.
Okay.
This is garlic. This is biotin, which is a complex B vitamin. And this is alpha lipoic acid.
Okay.
Not quite sure. It has to do with regulating blood sugar and stuff like that.
Does it make your pee brightly colored when you take those?
I don't think so.
No? Like, you know, when you take like a real good multivitamin, you know, not one a day, but like the expensive good ones, you know, your pee comes out like gold because there's just so much extra material, you know, that your either body can't process or it processes and expels that very rich colors.
Well, no, the point is to do what the diet does, which is essentially regulate your blood sugar.
So the beer is a curious beer, Inclined Plain Ale, IPA, from Flat Rock Brewing Company, brewed in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. To the best of our knowledge, there is no Flat Rock Brewing Company in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, which means it was beer brewed at City Beer by God knows who.
It says on Beer Advocate, Jones Brewing Company. See their website here. Stoney's Beer.
Stoney's, really? Nice.
So there you go. Well, it doesn't smell like a brightly hopped American IPA, but it smells reasonably hoppy. It's got a nice orange color to it. It's got a little bit of a malt thing to it, you know. I'm gonna let it warm up a little bit before I go into it, because there could be something there.
Okay, so they do have a website. Out now, Flat Rock Inclined Pale Ale, a craft session beer by Flat Rock Brewing Company. And let's see, history. Flat Rock Brewing Company was established in 2010 with aspirations to create an authentic American craft beer line that can appeal to every palate. Our company is rooted in Western Pennsylvania, where the love of beer flows like the rivers that run through it. In fact, Flat Rock Brewing Company is named after the Flat Rock Trail. We moved our brewing. Okay, here. We started on the right foot by working with German-trained brewmasters from Detroit Rivertown Brewing. With their expertise and their help, we perfected our recipes. As our sales grew, we moved our brewing to City Brewing in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Okay.
All right.
Beer marketing company, all the way. They're brews. They also have a porter, a German-style pils called Bad Sun, and coming soon, a Märzen.
So this is hopped with Hercules, Centennial, Columbus, Cascade, and 4.2% alcohol.
What kind of events they got going on here?
So
you see the tailgates, the Steelers beat down the Jets, stopped by the Flat Rock tailgate party.
Stillers aren't doing that well, are they?
Not so great, no. So they were around for, like, here's the thing. Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week. We'll be sampling some Flat Rock at Commonwealth Press. Oh, that's when they had the t-shirt thing. You know, I might have seen them then, if actually. I was thinking about going to that, even. It's a beer marketing company. It's an okay. It's not really an IPA. If it is, it's just barely an English style.
I mean, an IPA at 4.2%? That's... You know, to call something a session IPA is really... You're hitting up against some really weird definitions there.
It has a pretty clean flavor. I mean,
it's clean. It doesn't come off as particularly hoppy. It ends with there's actually a nice kind of a nice bready malt at the end, which is pretty good. But then it goes a little bit into bitter. It's okay. I wouldn't have two.
All right, so we don't talk about beer in the pre-show.
No, we talk about it. Because if we do, we'll exhaust our supply of beer stuff to talk about. Yes. What happened to you this week?
What happened to me this week? Is that a loaded question? Am I supposed to have an answer ready?
Okay,
I thought maybe...
It's been a week.
Right, okay. I was thinking that you had something in mind to discuss. Let's see. Kind of an uneventful week. I had to go over my father-in-law's Thursday night and empty about 2 inches of water out of his basement. That was fun.
Why did you have to do that?
Because there was 2 inches of water in his basement.
Why was there?
Because it rained, I guess.
Okay. Did you use, like, a wet vac, or...?
We did, but the water started going down. Like, it wasn't backing up in the floor drain. So, actually, what we did was we got some floor squeegees and started squeegeeing carpet and everything. I was there till midnight. It was a lot of work and not much fun. But, hey, that's what you do when you are a nice son-in-law, I guess.
Yep.
And then he went and didn't follow my suggestions on how to dry out his carpet, and he, told him to go rent one of those under the carpet blowers that you can get, where you, it's kind of a fan but has a very narrow slit that you can pull up the carpet and put it under there. And he had a carpet guy come out, and the carpet guy told him, "Oh, the carpet padding will never ever dry. I'm gonna have to replace that for you." Of course, that's what the carpet guy is going to say. He's not gonna say, "Oh, you could probably use the under air blowers, and I will make no money."
Unless he rented them, then he would say, "Yeah, I guess you could. I'd have to charge you as much as I would for replacing it, but hey."
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're running it from home, that's the thing I was unsure about. If you're running it from Home Depot, I don't know what those go for, but if they're $20 a day, and you're going to need it for a week, well, I guess that's not too bad. But if they're, you know, if you're going to need it for like $400 worth, then, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
Probably, you know, about the same cost as, you know, the guy pulling back the carpet and putting down new padding. I don't know. I was surprised. This is actually the second time in 2 years that his basement is flooded like this. And he bought the house and the basement was finished. There's a nice little home theater down there. And, you know, came home to water, had to get the carpet replaced. The carpet's been down for like 2 months and it flooded again. Like, I'm not well. Even before he put the second carpet down, he was considering tile. He was considering, you know, different kinds of flooring. I'm like, and we heard he was going with carpet again. I'm like,
it's just gonna get ruined again unless you fix the flooding situation.
Yeah, and I couldn't really tell when I got there. The water was going down. You know, I can't really tell where it came from. It's remarkably clear water though, which. I don't know. It just seemed unusual for it to be rain runoff, but I guess
well,
it could be.
Yeah, I mean, if it goes through stone and stuff,
right.
That'll catch a lot of the
It was remarkably
mud.
Clear, though. That's I don't know. It just seemed unusual for rain runoff, but I'm hardly an expert in flooded basements to know. But yeah, he needs to figure out why his basement's flooded twice. Mm. He also needs to figure out if, you know, the previous owners screwed him on the seller's disclosure and didn't say something like that.
What could he do about that?
Misrepresenting the seller's disclosure is a big deal, so you probably have some legal, you know, reimbursement there or something.
Let's see. Ooh, I got an email.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. My iPhone has been shipped.
Nice.
Today, looks like. And it is on its way in transit. Second day air, so it'll arrive Tuesday.
Shipped from where?
Texas.
Neat. Then you get to activate it and you'll be all iPhone 5. Like,
that's
what?
Right.
Like,
cool.
No, I haven't had any problems with Apple Maps. I've been using it a little bit around here just to see if it sucks.
It's actually, it's okay for America. Mm-hmm. It's the other,
it seems like America mostly has silly mistakes, like Madison Square Garden is green space, like a park, you know, it shows up as a park.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But yeah, I've been using it around here. It would be nice, I couldn't get it to route around traffic.
Ah.
I was at the Market District. I was going to work one day, and I figured I'd cut through Wexford and stop at Whole Foods and pick up some, you know, breakfast granola.
Breakfast granola.
Yeah, because I'm tired of, wanted cereal, but I wanted, you know, some good granola and not, you know, the tiny little box you can get at the other Giant Eagle. And so I go up through Wexford and right by Damien's house, it's down to one lane. Like, horrible nightmare. Like, okay, I'll just go to Market District, got some there. And then I'm, like, leaving. I'm like, I don't want to sit in that, you know. I do not want to sit in that. So, like, I looked on the phone. I couldn't get it to... It gave the two alternate routes, but they were both on major highways and pretty far away. They weren't. I knew a better way. I wanted it to route me that way and maybe give me another.
Could you do that with Google Maps? Because I never done that with the Google Map app. I don't know whether you could.
You could. I'm not sure on the phone. I mean,
I don't know if there's a saying to say like avoid major highways. I know there is on the web app.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure if there's was on the mobile app also. Either, but you know, like it was like I said, like I think the app is perfectly reasonable. The lack of Street View is annoying, but other than that, it's perfectly reasonable around here. Turn by turn's nice.
Flyover is the stupidest thing, it really is just completely useless.
I guess if you're in the cities where they have 3D rendering of buildings and stuff, they have 3D modeling,
it's just neat. It's not, it doesn't serve any purpose. Mm-hmm. It's just neat, and who cares about neat? That, you know, something that's neat is not, or should not be, a major selling point. Did you see that Apple actually apologized for it?
Yeah, I saw that they, they suggested, you know, some other mapping type programs like Waze and whatnot.
And Google Maps.
Why didn't they? Well, why if they're so sorry, why don't they just make the iOS, you know, 4 map software available in the app?
Because they have to license it from Google.
But I read they still were under the license agreement. It's the license term. It hasn't expired yet.
Oh, I don't know.
Exactly. They're sorry, but they're not sorry. They are sorry, but they're not willing to give up monopoly or, you know, near monopoly of the customer's geospatial data.
Right. You know? So the deal is they're sorry because it became a big deal, not because.
And what's up with Google? How did they drop the ball and not put out a Maps app like as fast as the YouTube app? You know, especially when they heard shit doesn't work because they're working on a Maps app.
I don't know. Maybe it's more complicated than they expect. There's also a question. At this point, I don't see how they could. It would be a major PR disaster if they did this. But Apple could reject the app because there's a part of the Apple app agreement that says you won't duplicate any process that Apple apps do, and this is. This would be duplicating a process that the Apple app does. So
there almost has to be like a grandfather clause, right? Because, you know, Apple could, and maybe this is what they did with maps, they could sit back and find, okay, what is the most profitable app in the App Store? Okay, let's clone that and muscle, you know, the people out. Like, oh, Angry Birds. Let's build Angry Pigs or Angry Frogs.
Well, no, then you'd have a problem because you'd be going on previous... you'd basically be copying a game. Sure. That's hard to break through. But if there was something that did a particular process and Apple swooped in and... Like, let's say there was a card manufacturing, you know, greeting card, birthday card manufacturing thing on the iPhone, and, you know, Apple did release its card thing. Could the card manufacturing sue Apple? I don't think so. Could Apple make them stop? I think so.
Yeah, maybe.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I was just like, I was saying that the other day, I'm like, everyone's yelling at, you know, Apple and all this stuff, and I'm like, where's the story about Google? Like, I just think, like, somebody, some product manager, you know, dropped the ball because, you know, it's perfect. They could have jumped in and it's like, okay, Apple Maps sucks. Here, along with the YouTube app, you can also get our new Maps app, you know, and save the day. But maybe there's some other hurdles there.
It would be nice, but we'll see. This is the case I'm going to get.
Rex replied, he does have bottle caps, but he won't be home until late.
Okay. Oh, well. This is the case I'm going to get for my iPhone. I'm going to pre-order it. It's $160.
$160.
It's all aluminum. You use a screw to screw it in. It's got a suede back. It's...
My goodness. Looks nice.
Yeah.
I could never pay almost as much as the phone for the case, but neat. It'll take a drop, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Unless you drop it right on the corner, right on the glass. That's about the only thing it won't protect.
I'd probably get a cheapo case for the time being and then put it in that. Although this little case has worked really well on my iPhone 4, and talking to Damien about it, he says, you know, there's really no damage to this whatsoever. He says sell it online for $350.
Yeah.
That's how much it will go undamaged. So undamaged and unlocked. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. It's more than you paid for your new phone. Oh, no, you got the big phone, so you probably paid. But that's cool.
So this will pay for itself.
Except for the contract. Damn contract.
Except for the contract. What else is there? Oh, here's a question for you. Let me go into philosophy. Because we had no comments on the last one, and I wanted somebody to argue with me. Nobody argued. I've heard a lot. People say...
You going to argue with yourself here?
No, I'm going to make a point and see if you agree.
Okay.
I've heard people say things along the lines of, well, everyone's heard this. What's the most important question out there? And if you ask someone in astronomy, the most important question is...
Most important question out there is, how am I going to get my next meal? And if you got that one covered?
The most important philosophical question.
Okay. Philosophical question. You mean the why are we here? No.
Yeah, why are we here is part of it, but the big one they seem to ask all the time is, are we alone?
Okay.
Right? Why are we asking that particular question?
Probably for the same reason. I think because people may find it comforting, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That they're not.
Why?
We're not alone. Because even though there's 4.5 billion of us, if that's, you know, the only sentient life in the, you know, in the universe, it seems lonely, right?
But there's, yeah. And there's, but there's something more, more sort of small scale about that. Here's my thing. It doesn't matter who the person is, right? This could be the biggest killer on, you know, whoever lived, you know, the meanest guy, the hugest psychopath. If you put them in solitary confinement, they all turn to mush. They all start behaving the same way. They just, they acquiesce and they just turn to mush. Mm-hmm. We're monkeys. We're a particular type of monkeys. We're social apes. We have to be around other people. We have to be communicating with other people. Otherwise, it's our brains can't handle it. If we evolved from spiders, we'd be in a different situation. Perhaps other species out there, aliens, could care less about whether there's anything else out there. Mm-hmm. They're interested in their deal. We're always like, we want to be with other people. We want to be with other things. There's this pull that, you know, the fact that we're these social monkeys, so everything, we have to be with other things. So we search desperately to see where there's other things for us to be with. And it's,
is it that? I mean, maybe it is, but I mean,
cause my it point seems is like that
the desperate search is, you know, the you know, it's just the scientific, you know, the exploration and the discovery. You know, we also have an innate drive to discover things, to explore things, to,
well, we, there,
but that's,
there's
not really necessarily social oriented, you know, social orientation.
No, that's not, that's something,
but, you know, extra. I would argue that
that's something that's particularly human as opposed to particularly monkey, I guess you could say.
Well, but I would argue that, you know, the question about is there life out there is more at home in the drive for exploration and discovery than it is for the drive to have someone to talk to.
Well, there's the question of discovery of, okay, put a checkbox in there. You know, okay, there is, yes. And okay, we found that answer out. And there's also the question, though, of a fulfilling answer and sort of, you know, people say that's a life-changing answer. Like finding the Higgs boson was, okay, check that. Well, it didn't change anybody's life. It didn't change the way we look at the world and the universe, you know, except for people who are working on very specific versions of quantum theory. Whereas, you know, finding other life out there would change a whole dynamic of how we see ourselves and how we see the universe, as opposed to just,
true,
you know, yeah, okay, there are, you know, there is this kind of black hole, there is this kind of supernova, check, check, check. So, you know, there's a...
But I think there's something a little more close to home about looking for life, right? Because we're alive. We're a little bit of life and a whole bunch of not alive. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't see, you know, I think it'd be just as exciting. I mean, maybe not just as exciting, but, you know, in the same ballpark of excitement, finding microbial life on someplace else than to, you know, find someone that I can have a conversation with.
I mean, I almost, to me, I am as close to 100% sure as you can be that there's other microbial life out there in the universe. So finding other microbial life, to me, would be just, yep. And to me, and to other people, it might be something, you know, crazy and different. But to me, it'd be like, yeah,
sure.
But that's finding exactly what I expected to see. Finding other intelligent life would be huge for a lot of reasons. One thing is I think that other intelligent life is necessarily extremely rare, to the point where we may be the only one. Even complex life should be extremely rare, but there's nothing in evolution to push towards intelligence. Certainly not the civilization building intelligence that we would consider. I mean, there's things like intelligence that like an octopus has and crows have, stuff like that. But to build what, you know, our civilization, mm-hmm, stuff like that, there's nothing in evolution that it's happened to one species on this planet in about 3 billion years of evolution.
Right.
And it hasn't even come close for anything else. Well,
could have happened to several other species if we didn't wipe them out.
If we didn't?
If Homo sapiens didn't wipe out other Homo species. They could.
Oh, well, okay. So, okay, I see what you're saying. So, it's possible it could have happened to other cousins of us in the Homo. Yeah. Yes.
We just outcompeted them.
We outcompeted the Homo sapien outcompeted them. But aside from this clade, aside from this clade of Homo, there's nothing else that's even, I mean, remotely near.
But how many could have been's? How many great 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 grandparents in some like of a rat got stepped on by a dinosaur and didn't turn into
it's an interesting question, but like I say, if we had evolved from solitary creatures, and somehow, I don't know how, formed a technological society that did not involve us being in a civilization together, but were able to still build a technological society, would there be that same impetus to find other life? Maybe there would be to explore, but would finding other life be a change, or would it just be like, there's more trash out there?
Well, I mean, look at how society, the benefits of everything we have in our modern life is based on the society and the benefits of society because we're social creatures. If we were, if we were polar bears, right? If we were intelligent polar bears, mm-hmm. but we always had our own territory,
We had our own territory, and like we got together for mating. And that was it. We took care of our young to a certain point, and that was it.
You wouldn't get out of the Stone Age, though, by your
solitary. You're assuming because of the way we developed.
Well, right. But, I mean, imagine, caveman Homo sapiens, but living in the way a polar bear lives, right, with their own territories, uh-huh. and, they run off any other males, and the only time you're in contact with another bear is when you're mating. There's so, none of that collaboration that got us us to the point where we can even get to
We obviously had this thing where we joined together and that helped us, but what if there was like maybe there was a rudimentary form of getting together and it facilitated some sort of rudimentary form of communication, and that form of communication evolved, and eventually people started talking to each other, but they still had an instinctual thing where they didn't really like to be around each other, but they kept talking to each other and they kept discovering things that way, and perhaps it moved slower than our society did, but that built. I'm not saying this is how it would work. I don't know, because mm-hmm. we've only, like I said, we have one example. But I'm trying to imagine how it could work if there was a solitary type creature. And to say that it couldn't possibly happen to me is wrong, I think, or at least it's making too many assumptions. And based on our own experience, based on our own history, which would not be how this thing developed. And I think it's altogether possible. And I wonder how but that...
There's, okay, so back to the solitary versus, society, the grouping. There's lots of things that live in communities, right? I mean, you put a little spark of... I was going to say ants. But really, the superorganism thing is a lot different. But
it's a lot different because there's only one genetic destiny. So, I mean, there's the only thing that I know that has social interactions like we do is other mammals, right? I mean, you have things like flocks of birds and fish, but those don't even really have any social structure. There's no hierarchy. But you have things like you have prides of lions, and you have these. But you also have solitary tigers, right? So it's not just all felines, but mm-hmm. you have like wolves, you have packs of wolves, mm-hmm. but you also have some solitary versions. So there's, but the only thing that I know that has this kind of hierarchical social structure is other mammals.
No, I think you're right. If you want to look like things that form packs and stuff like that, because the superorganisms of bees and ants and things are, really, They're not individually intelligent.
Well, it's not like that, but there is one genetic destiny for an entire.
Right.
It's not like every single piece of that superorganism has its own genetic code. They can't reproduce. Only one thing in that entire colony can reproduce. So the whole thing is just one period. So if you brought two ant colonies together, they just fight.
Right, but compare that to a pack of wolves, where there is some altruistic, where you know the pack may come before the life of an individual and stuff like that. But because there's some shared, you know, genetic destiny there as well.
But each individual has a chance to be its own genetic. If the alpha dies, another one can take its place. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, with an ant colony, if the queen dies, that's it. The ants are dead.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So, yeah, I mean, we only have experience with mammals in this sort of thing. So I don't really know. It seems to me that birds are plenty intelligent. Some birds are ridiculously intelligent. There are some...
crows will recognize a human that has done them wrong for decades, or maybe a crow doesn't live for decades, but years and years and years.
And we've seen them adapt and use tools to make tools, which is something that we only thought other apes did.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some, ridiculously intelligent birds. They have the problem of they only have their beaks to use. So it's going to take a while for evolution to give them dexterity.
Yeah, but the wings are pretty handy.
The wings are handy. We were talking about, online, you're talking about feathered dinosaurs. Speaking of wings... Mm-hmm. And I think they're awesome. I think it's so cool that we're now learning that all these dinosaurs are basically these big feathery monsters. And Jeff was like, they look like a chicken. And I'd say, no, think like a hawk. Because that just...
Oh, you know. I was just trying. I mean, Greg was really... thinks like, oh, this is so awesome. You know, you can teach your kids that dinosaurs had feathers. And I think teaching my kids dinosaurs has feathers is... important and useful. I just not excited about the prospect of teaching them with feathers versus without feathers. I don't know. It doesn't excite me like it excites Greg.
Like there was this one XKCD where they're doing this exact same thing we're talking about, and one guy was like, oh, this dinosaurs with feathers suck, and the other person says dinosaurs with feathers are cool, and the guy walks away, and the person with dinosaurs with feathers is reading about how ancient raptors, they think that they used their sort of wings to sort of not necessarily fly, but to keep them down as they were attacking things.
Okay.
And then the guy who was like, feathers aren't cool, was ever like, oh, I guess that is pretty cool.
Use them as tail fins, like on race cars and stuff, to give them more downforce.
Right, yeah. It's pretty awesome when you think about it. And it really makes you look at birds in a whole new way. It makes you look at birds and you see these are dinosaurs that are around.
Mm-hmm.
They're not something different. They are dinosaurs. They're just a different kind than we're used to.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you think about it, like I said, it makes sense. Hawks, those are powerful birds of prey. These are creatures that just, nail it and will take a bunny and just bam, snap it up and snap his neck.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right. Should we move on?
We can move on.
Let's do that.
Save some stuff for the post show. I don't have anything on the top of my head right now.
We'll see.